Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are looking live at the Leander Beer Market, 106 West Willis Street. Come join us. It's in Leander, Texas, if you're in the neighborhood in Leander. Come out here and join us. It's a nice setup. They got a nice patio out here, and they got the misters, fan misters, pretty cool. I'm not sweating yet. Feel good. You can come out here and enjoy some of the beer specials that they have out here at the Leander Beer Market. We'll tell you more about those here in just a second. But the big news of the day, of course, is that Texas and Oklahoma both did inform the Big 12 that they would not be renewing their grant of rights deal with the Big 12, which actually ends in 2025. Because of that, we expect the rest of the dominoes to drop, and the rest of the dominoes to include the SEC and a formal invite for both Texas and Oklahoma. There's not really been word from the Big 12 about how they are going to respond to the notice from Oklahoma and Texas, meaning do they want to keep this awkward arrangement going, even though Texas and Oklahoma are leaving to go to the SEC? Would they like to be that divorced couple still living together for 4 years until they can financially find a way to part ways? Or could we see a situation similar to when I brought this up earlier? You know, the Aggies, of course, went through something very similar when they went to the SEC, and they were invited formally. Texas A&M was added September of 2011, and Missouri got a formal invite November of 2011. They both moved to the SEC and were playing in 2012. So if history would be any indicator, it would seem that Texas would be playing in the SEC sooner rather than later. Another report here from SaturdayDownSouth.com say they spoke with an anonymous SEC athletic director who told them, quote, the expectation is for Texas and OU to play in the SEC in 2022. Quote, it doesn't do any good for them to be in one conference and committed to another beyond that 1 year, end quote. I think they're right. I think this thing is going to happen after. I think this is the last year Texas plays in the Big 12.
Yeah, what's the point of Texas and Oklahoma staying in the Big 12 when everybody in the world knows that they're not going to be in the Big 12 beyond a certain year, right? Like, why not just make it happen? It benefits both parties to, I think, break this thing off as early as you possibly can. If the writing's on the wall and there's no chance this isn't going to happen, which I think at this point we all agree it's going to happen, what's the point of just prolonging the inevitable?
Yeah, and especially if the other remaining eight, if a lot of them get sucked up by someone else, then you've got somewhere to go to, right? Where we both have a relationship to go to. Let's go ahead and start that. I was talking with the gentleman who listens to us. We appreciate everyone coming out here to Leander Beer Market. And he was just saying, I've just been around big corporations before, and this stuff takes time. And I understand that with the logistics. I think there's a lot of stuff they have to get done. But if you've got multiple parties outside of Texas and Oklahoma that have a place to go to, you guys are right. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done it, but you got a lease and you're living with someone and the relationship's over with, like, it's going to be that
it's
on steroids.
Yeah.
Very, very awkward.
Yeah. And the Big 12 did release a statement earlier today basically saying that they expect Texas and Oklahoma to be a part of things in 2025. Like, they didn't say that exactly, but the opening sentiment from Bob Bowlsby earlier today said, quote, although our eight members are disappointed with the decisions of these two institutions, we recognize that intercollegiate athletics is experiencing rapid change and will most likely look much different in 2025 than it does currently, end quote. So they do mention the 2025 year in their statement, which tells me that the Big 12 is holding out hope. Now, it could just be a total save face thing to not look stupid as hell publicly, and I hope, God, I hope they're smart enough to realize that this might not go down after 2025.
They are.
Like,
they are.
I know they're reactive, and they always have been way too reactive instead of proactive. But hopefully they actually realize that they've got to figure something out before then. But they also hinted towards trying to do something with the eight schools that are currently in and haven't announced any intention to depart, and trying to keep the Big 12 around for a long time.
I think a lot of the comments and statements you're getting right now, especially both Texas and Oklahoma, and then also, Bulls being the Big 12, there's a legal ramification to it. They don't necessarily believe what they're saying, but it needs to be said right now.
It's a great point. Yeah, that's why Texas, you said it earlier, Texas and Oklahoma, they said they fully intend, if necessary, to stay through the contract,
yes,
to be committed through that grant of rights deal, which is through 2025. I don't think that'll happen. I think you know, once the dominoes start to fall, once the other member schools in the Big 12 decide, I have to look out for my own self-interest. That's what Texas and Oklahoma did. The Big 12 is not necessarily on my side. The Big 12 is looking out for the Big 12. I mean, this is why you can't believe Bob Bowlsby. Bob Bowlsby, like 2 weeks ago, he's the same guy that when they asked him about realignment, he said, quote, there's a motivation is essentially gone for realignment. A lot of motivation for realignment is no longer there. Is that to say it couldn't happen? No, it could possibly happen for other reasons, but it doesn't appear to me that the motivation is there at this point in time. Not to say it couldn't happen, but it's not one of those things that keeps me up at night, end quote. That guy? You want to believe that guy?
Yeah.
And literally like 3 days later, like Texas and Oklahoma both dropped, or at least the report is leaked out that they're both heading for greener pasture to the SEC. Don't believe that guy, because either he's delusional and clueless as to what's going on within his own conference, or he's choosing to be, you know, intentionally imbecilic.
But best case scenario is he was just lying right there. And he's not that asleep at the wheel, that he knew something. But you're right. Either way, it's no bueno for that type of leadership.
Yeah, I think he's that clueless guy.
Really, he could be.
I think he's that clueless at the time, and I think he might still be that clueless, thinking the Big 12 could still exist beyond Texas and Oklahoma leaving. And I guess that's what he has to say.
Got to say it.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he legitimately felt that way. I probably should be updating his resume on LinkedIn or something like that.
oh, no, he got a cash grab, man.
Yeah.
The Big 12 was his cash grab.
That's true.
It was.
I don't know how much money Bob Bowlsby made off keeping the Big 12 alive.
And he'll find a way to get some money out of this thing, right? Especially if Texas and Oklahoma have to pay the reported $70 million exit fee if they do want to leave before the grant of media rights deals comes to an end in 2025. From a Texas perspective, though, guys, I mean, you want to make this move as soon as possible, right? Like, to help with recruiting and just to help with selling to coaches and, more importantly, to players that now you're going to be in the SEC moving forward, right, Rod? I mean, look, recruiting's not the biggest problem for Texas. We know that. We've talked about that a ton even before this announcement came down. But that's still something, another thing that you can sell, and it also takes away from Texas A&M's biggest recruiting pitch. And, of course, the Aggies are one of your biggest recruiting rivals right there right now. So, yeah, I mean, if you're Texas and OU, you want this thing done as soon as possible, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, because it's hard to sell uncertainty, hard to sell purgatory. This is where you'd be kind of stuck in for 3 or 4 years. You want to start selling the fact that you're playing in the SEC against the best, with the best. Yes, it's a similar recruiting pitch to A&M, and they want it to be the only school in Texas that could have that kind of pitch. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I think Texas will be on board to either pay the exit fee, if that's all the Big 12 is asking, or, you know, to kind of expedite this entire process, get the lawyers involved, just tell them you want to cut ties. I agree with that anonymous athletic director. I think 2022, I think the SEC also wants to start selling Texas and Oklahoma as soon as possible, so they can renegotiate the contracts, get all that done ASAP, and potentially Greg Sankey might have some other moves up his sleeve. Who knows at this point?
It would definitely be awkward if they have to hang around till 2023 and in 2022 still playing a Big 12 schedule. I'll say this, though, just to give a different angle on it. When we know the reality of what Texas football has been on the field the last 10 years, and you've got the third coach, if you want to count Mack at the end of the run, the fourth guy who's now trying to win here, and it's the biggest question that you've got all these resources, it's going to take a year or two. It may not be bad to keep the kid on training wheels for that extra year just to have your S in order when you do get to the big boy park.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC is more competitive than the Big 12. There's no doubt about that. And Texas has struggled to beat the likes of TCU and West Virginia and Iowa State. Now you're going into a conference with Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. So, you want to make sure you're able to compete by the time you get to the SEC whenever that happens. The hope is, Texas will be ready whenever that move does come down. But that's an interesting thought right there. I talked about it on Friday. Like, the game against Arkansas this year is so important for Texas. It's obviously huge for Sark. It's the second game ever. Any old-school Texas fan will tell you how much they hate Arkansas, so the rivalry component is still there. But, man, if you're trying to sell this SEC move to your fan base and to recruits, you can't lose to a team that's been a bottom feeder in that conference for the last couple of years and expect everybody to be excited at the opportunity of joining the SEC next year.
Yeah.
That is not a fan of you.
That is a Chevrolet right there. Like, spend your money on something else would be my advice to that guy. I don't know why you're sprucing up a Chevy Cruze.
It's a nice car.
And he's also he's also been down this road 3 times since 3 o'clock. Is he lost? Or is he trying to show off a blue Chevrolet? There
he's
he goes again.
Trying to show off here.
I hope he doesn't, like, come in here and try to have a beer, because then it's going to be...
Yeah.
It's
going to be very awkward.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I'm ripping him.
The guy right here.
He's got a problem
right
with
here.
Oh, he's stopping. Okay, well,
he's listening to the car, like, waiting for one of us to say something, and then he's going to come up and be like,
"You got it.
I heard what you said."
Make sure you pick the right white guy.
Yeah, Derek over there.
Just
the guy sitting on the end.
Just to quote Rocky. Oh, yeah, not Derek. Of the three on the air, to quote Rocky, hit the one in the middle, Rock.
Hit the one in the middle, Rock.
That's you.
Hit the one in the middle.
Ah, shoot. That is me. That is me. But, yeah, I mean, that game is so important. And, look, you – the 2025 date does absolutely nothing for current recruits, right? Because we're talking about class of 2022. Those guys are going to be seniors by the time 2025 rolls around. So you can't sell them. And you use the word purgatory, Rod. Like, that's what you would be in if you're just in limbo between two conferences. So, yeah, I hear the, well, you can't feel great about football with what we've seen on the field for the last decade. But also for the future of this football program, it seems like making the move to the SEC as quick as possible is your best bet.
I agree with that. And that supersedes the point that I made. I'm just saying realistically, Texas is, you know, try and be as equipped as you can when you're about to get into a fight like that.
No, I agree. But we all know the actual on-field product is like the, what, third or fourth reason Texas is doing this.
True.
A lot of Longhorn fans are upset about that. But that's the truth of the matter is, right? It's about money. It's about the stability, looking into the kind of the uncertain landscape of college sports going forward. But I think for Texas, the reason that they really want to start right away being able to align themselves with the SEC in terms of the recruiting pitch is because they have finally decided to stop fighting a losing battle. And I don't think Texas was losing it forever. They've definitely been losing it for the last 10-12 years is trying to build a wall around the state of Texas, right? The old, you know, the old thought process is, man, if Mack Brown did it, if you just get the best players in the state of Texas, you can win a national title, which is majority Texas players, which you can if you can rule the state, if you can rule the Iron Throne the way Mack Brown did and get all the top players for 10 straight years. Nobody's ever going to do that again in the state of Texas, ever. So I do think look at the power structure at Texas, ultimately decided, all right, you know what? Let's quit trying to fight that battle. We can recruit nationally, all right? Recruiting is nationalized anyway with social media has kind of changed everything. Name, image, and likeness will change everything even more. And now we'll be able to step into SEC country and not just recruit, not steal a couple of guys here and there. We'll be able to go in and boss hog territories in SEC country. We already got our footholds in battleground cities like Houston and Dallas and, of course, here in Austin in Central Texas. And instead of having that old R.C. Slocum, Mack Brown, unspoken gentleman's agreement where let's keep the rest of the Blue Bloods out of Texas and me and you will fight it out for the best players in the state, that's done. Because it's just too hard to recruit like that with Ohio State and Bama and LSU and Oklahoma just having their footprints, their fingerprints in the state. If you're Baylor or TCU, you like that old school mentality. But if you're Texas, you need a new school mentality of recruiting, and you can recruit nationally. Sark can go to the West Coast and recruit. Mm-hmm. The SEC footprint helps you get into SEC country on the East Coast, and you got Texas.
Got to be so huge for Texas to have a big year this year in football. I mean, we've talked about that a lot, right? Even before the SEC rumors came to be, just having a big year on the field is going to help in recruiting so much. Or you already have a honeymoon period, and the first recruiting cycle for a new coach is generally good, especially at a place like Texas. If you have that, and you combine that with a move to the SEC next year, that'd be massive for Texas. Like, the class, I mean, it's already right around a top 10 class right now, but we could be talking about like a top 3 class, KD, if you're able to pull that off. If you combine a successful final year in the Big 12 and the move to the SEC and name, image, and likeness and everything that seems to be working together for Texas right now, and if Sark can have success in year one, sky feels like the limit for this thing.
So Texas was the best program throughout the history of the Southwest Conference, and that's why I've told you guys in 95 that was so big for me and some Texas fans for them to wrap it up and win the last one, and they did. I mean, if they're football gods, Oklahoma should win this last one, right? They've been the class of the league on the field.
Yeah, they've won it enough.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'm with you on that, but Texas doesn't have to necessarily win it to make it, like you're talking about, a successful year and one that really propels you as you head to the SEC in 2022.
Yeah, but, man, if they did, that'd be nice.
If they did, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if they competed it or in
yeah,
that game.
Just getting to the game there would be huge. Yeah, I don't know. Texas won the last Southwest Conference. They won the first Big 12. Why not win the last Big 12? You know, make it happen.
Hey, I'm down for it.
I'm cool with that. What about potential downsides, guys? Do we view any downside? I mean, is that the biggest drawback with this move to the SEC, the competition in football being elevated? I mean, I think I'll speak for myself. I feel great about Texas being competitive in every other sport, men's and women's. Like, Texas has held its own, and you could argue Texas just had its best year as an athletic department in school history. Three national championships. They won the director's cut. It feels like they've got the pieces in place to be successful in a better conference in every other sport except for football. You know, outside of the competition increase in football, any other drawbacks from leaving the Big 12? Anything that y'all can think of? Or does this feel like absolutely the right move? Katie, I know you said it's not a perfect fit going to the SEC.
Yeah.
But in terms of just leaving the Big 12, is there anything that gives you hesitancy with that part of the decision?
Leaving the Big 12, no. Going to the SEC, it's been a snake pit majority of my life. And I know people within the SEC, and it does mean more. I mean, that phrase is used for a reason, but that also has created the black market that I've talked about. The biggest issue would be if Texas is going to go, and you're going to have to change who you've been in terms of whatever that was in your head, whether that was real or just a narrative, because Texas has cheated before, right? It's at a different level. If you're going to go compete with football, I know name, image, and likeness helps that out a lot. It brings a lot of that to the forefront. Texas, if they're going to go, they're going to have to go. And I remember talking to Aggie friends 10 years ago and was like, all right, you guys ready to go do this? If you're going to go do it, you're going to have to play that game.
Are you worried about that? Like, do you think Texas people are worried about that?
I think name, image, and likeness helps that out a little bit, but yes, I do.
Okay. What about you, Rod? Any potential drawbacks to leaving the Big 12, number one, but also joining the SEC besides the elevated level of play?
No. I mean, you had an easier path, I guess, to the postseason, like a playoff, I guess, in the Big 12. But other than that, the playoff expansion will give the SEC probably two, maybe three spots in the college football playoffs. So if you're good enough, you'll have a shot there. It's just an easier path to the Big 12. I mean, you basically own a conference. That's what the Big 12 was. You could do whatever you wanted with the conference. You owned it, and you always had the most talent in the Big 12. There's basically never been a time in the modern Big 12 where Texas has not been the most talented team in the conference. I know it sounds crazy.
With Oklahoma.
Based on the recruiting. I'm just talking about based on the recruiting.
On recruiting,
rankings.
You're right about
that's
that.
That's not based on recruiting rankings. That actually is the truth. Oklahoma developed their talent. I know it seems like Oklahoma's got more talent.
Different.
Because they developed their damn talent. It's like, man, Oklahoma's got way more talent than Texas. And actually, they don't. They just develop talent way better than Texas. That's the biggest difference.
They evaluate, develop, and scheme better.
And not only everybody in the Big 12 does that. So my concerns that I would have had for Texas would have been the same in the Big 12 either. It's just falling behind like they did in the Big 12.
So can I give you all this? We're all expecting the college football playoff to expand at some point in the not-too-distant future, and it feels like 12 teams is the popular consensus there. A data-driven consulting firm by the name of Navigate put together a chart. I guess they did some research on what a 12-team college football playoff would be like if Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC. And according to them, the average number of teams in the 12-team playoff per year out of the SEC is 3.8. So I said on Friday, like, I think a minimum of three SEC teams are going to be in a 12-team playoff when that actually gets
I just
here.
Think it's unfair to not send a whole team.
And now it's, 0.8 of a team. Yeah, I'm not
What's
quite
going
sure.
on here?
You get 0.2 of a Sun Belt roster, and you get 0.8 of your own roster. That's crazy to think about, that
Seems low.
One-third of a college football playoff, on average, is going to be out of this SEC. And look, we'll see how the rest of realignment shakes up. That's obviously going to affect some things, and maybe there's another conference that is close to as good as the SEC after the next round of realignment. But just bizarre to think about that one-third of a playoff could be teams from your own league, and you could have an NFL-like situation where you play the same team three times in a year.
Yep.
Right? You get that in the NFL, two in your division, one in the playoffs. Like, you could have that. You play a team in the regular season in your conference. You play them again in the conference title game. Then you play them in the playoff again. That's where we could be headed with this expanded SEC, guys.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that number. I mean, essentially, we're looking at the Big 12 dissolving. So you take the Big 12's one or 1.5 team, 1.2 teams they would have had there. And then now they're assuming that this is just going to uplift the overall clout of the SEC. And the SEC probably would have had two teams in there on their own.
Yep.
Right? So that's two plus the 1 point whatever for the Big 12. Yeah, that puts them right there at getting close to four teams in the college football playoff. I'm not surprised by that.
And one of my issues with the expansion
it's
is –
it's stunning, though. I agree
it is, yeah. But one of my issues with expansion, you guys know this, is that majority of my life, 8 through 12, would not have been competitive. And even Chad was given stuff. He was given stuff that with teams I like. And I go, 87 Notre Dame didn't need to be a playoff. Trust me. You know, I mean, if you want to be real, I was watching then. They didn't need to be in the playoff.
That's a good point.
That – I guess my point is that could be low. There could be some years where you get a three-loss Georgia and they look at it and you get five or six teams in.
Yeah. God, that'd be nuts.
That would be crazy.
This is all nuts.
It is. And the crazy thing, too, are some of the stories that I'm reading about what this could – what could come after this. And if the Pac-12 or the Big Ten get really serious. I mean, I read one today about the Big Ten reaching out and trying to get USC there. Thought, man, where is this going? Like, just my whole lifetime, that would have been bizarre.
Absolutely. Hey, before we break for one and done, I got to tell the people about the reason we're here. That's my friends at the Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt beer is the best beer that you can find throughout the state of Texas. Whatever you have going on all summer long, make sure you accompany your good times with the greatness of Altstadt beer. Hopefully, whatever you were doing this past weekend, you had some Altstadt by your side. Football season right around the corner. Altstadt should be your beer for that. It's brewed locally in Fredericksburg. It's easy to find, available wherever you shop for beer here in Central Texas, including at the Leander Beer Market, where we are right now. So come out and enjoy some Altstadt specials today. And once again, whatever you have going on this summer, add Altstadt to ensure a good time. Altstadtbeer.com is the website. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. KD, what's coming up?
What's coming up? Let's take a look at some of the other sports, specifically one of my favorite sports, and how the SEC would look. Because growing up, there was one conference that really dominated or had the best history. But this is a chance to be as much fun in baseball as it is in football. I'll also give you some trade rumors because we're getting close to that trade deadline. And it looks like a big Ranger may be staying put.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. I'm getting hungry, guys. I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to order here in a couple hours, but we got Stromboli that came out. Or actually, it was Calzone, and it looked damn good. I've got a good BSI for Italian food. Just the way that it looks, I think we're in for something good tonight.
It smells ridiculous.
And it smells good, too. Yeah, I'm using my nose as well.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait a couple of hours before ordering food.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that either. Rod, though, you've got
don't
the best discipline.
Yourself.
Yeah, if
don't
we're hungry,
yourself.
Go
Get
for
on
it, right?
Yeah, what are you doing? Have some fun, man. You only live once. YOLO.
Man, look at that. All right, so we got on Friday. on Friday, we've got the trade deadline for Major League Baseball, and all three of our teams are going to be involved, or at least have been involved, with rumors. And the only one who'd be adding are the Astros, who still look fantastic. And, man, Astros-White Sox could be a lot of fun. Then you've got the NL West just in general. You've got Padres and the Dodgers chasing people. I do love the fact that the Padres are involved for a long time. They would be kind of cheap and maybe just weren't in the running. But the fact that you've got the Padres competing with the Dodgers to get players. The Padres got Adam Frazier over the weekend, and now I think both are chasing after Jose Berrios to try and get whatever starting pitching is left.
Man, I feel bad for whoever loses the wild card game in the National League.
Totally agree.
Because all three of those teams are going in, right? The Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres. They're all going to make moves to try to win this year, and for one team, they're going to be gone after the first day of the playoffs.
Yep.
So that would make buying in on this year a lot more painful. But look, the Padres are good enough to win a World Series, I think. So you go out and add one of the leading hitters in the National League, makes a lot of sense. It was a good move for them. And, yeah, I'm curious to see how the other two in their division react.
Rod, I would like for us to dance the Cubbies and the Astros.
Hey.
Cubs got Chris Bryant. You don't necessarily need that, but he can play everywhere so you could use him. But Craig Kimbrell is a guy that I keep on waiting for that to go down. Remember that's
is that
how
the pitching motion is?
This is how he starts before. You get a kick out of it.
I've got to do this for the rest of the segment on Twitch now that we're talking about
him. Don't move that. But then also Max Scherzer, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Nationals move him. I could see you guys adding
That'd
a starting
nice.
Pitching. You've got good starting pitching, and the bullpen is really where you need help. But how does all that play out? And then to the Rangers, Joey Gallo has that arbitration year next year. I thought we were going to see Gallo moved, but Evan Grant is reported yesterday that there's already been discussions about extending him. And so maybe the Rangers don't want to move him and could maybe move Kyle Gibson, but they could always extend him and then make that move. But that seems to me that they want him to be part of the rebuild.
And that should make me happy.
Yeah, are you happy with that?
I don't know. I mean, I love Joey Gallo. I just feel bad for him. Now, they're going to pay him handsomely enough to where I shouldn't feel that bad for him. He's going to be okay financially, but it feels like the Rangers are a few years away from doing anything close to relevant. So like,
dude, you're killing me with this arm.
I know. I'm killing you. I'm killing me. This hurts so bad. It's been a minute. We've got like
it
7 minutes left
a little bit
in this segment. Yeah, it'll just,
you can put it down if you want.
You can put it down if you want.
It'll just
it's
gradually
distracting me.
Yeah.
Listening to you.
No, man. While we're talking about Major League Baseball and the trade deadline, this
All
has
right,
to go
we're
down.
About to, we're about to move to the SEC.
Well, thank God. I'll talk
thank
faster
God.
Then.
But actually, maybe we won't.
No.
No, so it looks like this is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Gallo's trade value I don't think will ever be higher than it is right now because he's playing for cheap and he does have an extra year of team control, as you mentioned. So there's a huge part of me that just wants the Rangers to make a move. Now, when you get prospects, there's no guarantee you're going to get a Joey Gallo in there.
No.
Like, it's easy to say, oh, let's trade one guy and get four really, really good guys. Sounds great on paper. All four of those guys could suck.
Yeah.
Like, even the smartest teams in baseball, everyone's made trades where they think they're getting something great in return, and the guy just doesn't pan out. So you know what you have with Joey Gallo, and he seems like the ideal guy to rebuild around, right? He's young. He plays multiple positions. He's a great team guy. He brings a lot to the table, but and it just it feels like the Rangers are going to need a hell of a lot more, and I'm not sure they'll be able to get what they need during Gallo's tenure in Arlington. So it makes more sense to me to move on.
The other thing with the vaccination status for some of these guys, we totally forget about that other thing that's going on. And could that play into it a little bit? At least 85% of Tier 1 personnel must be fully vaccinated for teams to enjoy relaxed COVID protocols. How does any of that stuff play in? And, Rob, we've talked about it, incentivizing that, which, funny enough, could be part of trade discussions.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy how that becomes some of a back burner discussion when that was at the forefront of every decision, not only in sports, but every facet of our lives just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And honestly, the way things are looking, it's about to become
Ramp
that part of the
up.
Forefront
yeah,
once again, unfortunately.
All right, you can drop it. Let's talk SEC baseball here.
Man, it's way easier when I'm a few beers deep at the bar
yeah, exactly.
doing that. Although I get way more looks and people are way more confused.
Is that,
the ladies,
is that your game, the
I'm
ladies?
I'm going to say, is that the pickup line with the ladies?
No, it's just whenever Craig Kimbrell's pitching, it's my
it's your thing.
Obligation.
It's your deal.
Yeah, like it has to be done. Well, and the funny thing is when I get like five of my friends to do it too, so there's just like a line of dudes doing this at the bar. It's
and then the ladies start looking like, what is going on with
what's
this group
going
of
on here? Yeah.
And then it ends up being a pickup line.
Yeah.
It's like a Michael Jackson video. Way back in
and then. And then I lie and say like, that guy's a good
Tyler?
Friend of mine. That
nice.
Guy's a good friend of mine. Like that's why I'm doing it. I know that guy. We're going to hang out later.
Boom. Mm. Ding, ding.
Oh, my God. He knows a baseball player?
You That's know funny. Greg Kimbrell?
Yeah.
The chicks don't say
no.
That.
No.
They say you know that dude.
Yeah, you know Shohei? That'd probably be it. So the SEC has been the best baseball conference the last couple years. We talk about how the landscape's going to change with football. We talked a little bit with basketball, but clearly the main discussion was just the move overall. But I started to think over the weekend some of the different sports and how they would play in, and naturally right away I went to college baseball. SEC has been pretty dominant the last couple of years. I mean, when I was growing up, the Pac-12 still is the best history when you're talking about Arizona State, Arizona, USC, and some of the programs they have. And in the ACC, even though Wake Forest won it in 59 and they never really won it in majority of my childhood, it was still a really good conference. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a little bit more level than the SEC's domination of the last 20 years in football. But this could really change that. Oklahoma doesn't bring a ton to the table historically with college baseball, but it's still a big program. But you throw Texas Yankee-esque type feel to the SEC, which has programs that are blowing up. LSU from 90 on has been great. We finally saw Mississippi State punch it in for the first time. Ole Miss, Arkansas, Florida, Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. This is going to be some fun road trips, and this is going to be the highest level of baseball. I feel really confident with what David Pierce has built right now. But just like in football, you better get your big boy pants on, because there are going to be some tough, tough weekends. There are going to be some weekends where you get the broom put out on you and you're still a good baseball team.
Yeah, better road trips, though, for the fans.
Are you kidding me?
Better road trips and better, I guess, home series for the fans, too.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the best college baseball parks for me, I'm looking at Bluebell Park, Olsen Field, Texas A&M, Duty Noble, Mississippi State. You hold outfield experience at Ole Miss where you've got 5,000 younger people, legal, of course, to drink, but out there and beers are going up
whenever
there's a home run.
Yep.
Bomb Stadium in Fayetteville is first class. I called a couple games there.
It's called Bomb Stadium?
Bomb Stadium, yeah.
How do you spell that?
B-A-U-M.
Okay.
Charlie Baum, I believe.
Okay.
Interesting.
And then I didn't even mention LSU, which is a fantastic atmosphere.
The box.
Facilities are all jacked up. And if I'm Texas, I've been asking for this well before we were talking about the move to the SEC. It's time to get the rest of that park with an SEC feel and environment. We saw how great that environment was during the playoffs this year. And Occupy Left Field, the great stuff they do there. I'm not saying kick them out. I'm saying create a spot for them and get all the way around that outfield. Have a little bit more of a feel that the SEC does.
So how do you do that, knowing what the dish looks like right now? Like, what would be your suggestion if you were making the call?
I mean, I'm cutting off Comal Street there, and I'm trying to build a berm and trying to make that as doable as possible. It may not look like Duty Noble, and it may not exactly feel like Ole Miss, but try and make that a part of it, because I do think that separates some of these SEC environment.
You think the students will come out for that? Like, it's disappointing to me sometimes the crowds that Texas gets for regular season baseball games. I mean, obviously when the postseason comes around, fans show up. It's a sellout every time. But yeah, speaking personally from experience as a student, like, I was a huge Texas baseball fan. I went to a few games a year, and that was a few more than most Texas students went to. So
I created my whole schedule about getting out to baseball games. I'm not kidding with you on that.
I believe that 100%. Yeah. You're also psycho.
Yeah.
Fair.
So
both of you are, actually.
Yeah,
fair.
Well,
sports, yeah.
Also fair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, do you think just making those adjustments to the dish would be able to generate that type of buzz with the baseball program? Like, they should already have that considering how good they've been. But my fear is you build something like that, you try to replicate what the SEC schools have, and then you just don't get the turnout you're looking for.
And it looks embarrassing because you've got an outfield that you've set up and no one's there.
And it's such a crappy excuse, and I hate when people use this with basketball too, but it's far. It's a far walk, or you got to get in the car. I see your reaction there, and I have the same one. But, like,
people are lazy.
Yeah.
People are lazy. Yeah, that's
just
the truth. You
have campus buses too. I think all three of us took them.
Exactly. People are
lazy. It's a good question, though. I think the schedule is going to be so jacked up and juiced up that you're going to have a lot more weekend series that you do get a lot of people out there and students. So
I agree with that.
So Tuesday night games, you may be right about that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of some of the weekend, if Vanderbilt's coming in or Mississippi State's coming in or Arkansas's coming in or A&M's coming in or LSU's coming in or Florida's coming in, there's some big-time matchups. And the more I kept on going through it, I just thought, and I've always thought Georgia is a sleeping giant because of the type of high school baseball and youth baseball they play. There's an opportunity for this to be just a lot of fun in baseball.
I'm excited, man. And you mentioned it earlier. I mean, with what David Pierce is building, you feel like Texas can hold their own against anybody in this sport. And if you're going to what has been the power conference, I don't think you're worried like you might be in football or some of the other sports right now. So.
Yeah, I don't think you have to get as up to speed in baseball as you do with football. Now, you would have a couple years ago, but same thing with basketball. Basketball, this may be an easier schedule, depending on year in and year out.
You know the worst part of this move to the SEC, guys?
What?
It has to do with women's basketball. I thought Texas had finally gotten rid of Kim Mulkey.
Oh, I didn't
remember
think
she
about
took
that.
The job at LSU, and it's like finally we don't have to deal with her ever again, and now we're like voluntarily going to deal with her again all the time.
Hey, you want to be the woman? You got to beat the woman. I was gonna say beat a man. You got to beat the man. So.
Okay, yeah. I'd be careful with beat too.
To be the woman. Like, beat a man, you got to beat the man.
Okay.
I got you.
I'm not talking about beating women.
I know you're not, but people hear different things.
I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if...
you didn't get the reference?
We've gotten into a Ray Rice discussion or anything like that. I wasn't ready for that.
Such a Ric Flair reference. Mm.
Hey, one more thing, Rick. On this. You don't think there's any way that Schlossnagel had a birdie in his ear, do you?
About the Big 12, about Texas and Oklahoma?
That was another thing I thought of this weekend. The fact that he's at TCU that long, and it could just be timing, and obviously the timing was Childress's contract was up, and they weren't going to continue it. But
honestly, the only person that would have told him would have been CDC.
Well, or would have been, you would think, A&M, and so that would have already leaked out well before.
We know that A&M wasn't kept in the loop, though.
Exactly.
That's my point. So the only person that would have told him would have been CDC, like, hey, so you should just go to the SEC because we're leaving.
I'm just saying, CDC wouldn't have done that. I don't think so. They were together for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. They were together. Well, all it takes is a text.
A little hookup.
All it takes is one word, man. It's like, hey, I think you should jet.
Crazy.
Because we're jet.
Crazy.
But we're going to start looking back on decisions like that and asking questions.
Yeah. You should.
Absolutely. Good stuff. One and done. Talking about the reported Texas move to the SEC and what it means for college baseball. We'll return here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at the Leander Beer Market. Come out and see us. We'll be here till 9 o'clock tonight, so you have plenty of time to come out and say hi. When we come back, we've got off the record, a UT insider site is changing the game in regards to name, image, and likeness. We'll give you the details up next.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the right hand comb.
Congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And this one actually is from someone we all know very well. Good friend of the station, friend of the show, Jeff Ketchum. He is the founder of Orange Bloods. And Orange Bloods made the news this past weekend with a precedent-setting deal that they made with a couple of student athletes on the 40 acres. Obviously, this is a name, image, and likeness deal. Jordan Whittington, who is a receiver for the Texas football team, and Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic or Latino Bambino. Have we settled on which one of these it is?
Latino Bambino. Final answer.
All right. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. They are the first two athletes to sign deals with Orange Bloods. And Jeff Ketchum talked to the Austin American Statesman about it, and he said that it is for them going to be kind of a landmark deal for them, and it's just a start. Also claimed that other deals are in the works, including some with female athletes, as well as expanding their YouTube profile at Orange Blood. So we actually hypothesized who would be the first of the Longhorn-centric sites to make one of these deals or get one of these deals done. We saw that the Tex Aggs had a similar deal with two Texas A&M football players. We've seen across the country very creative name, image, and likeness deal, the NFT deal that Oregon had with one of their football players. And Miami has a deal where I believe every player on the team has a name, image, and likeness deal. This is the first one we've seen from Texas, KD. What are your thoughts? This is going to be just the start of this thing, and then we'll probably start to see a lot of more of these trickle out.
Yes, I think it's just the start of it. No surprise, it's Orange Bloods. I think all of us
I think I said inside Texas. BK said Orange Bloods.
BK was all over it. So I do think we also saw with Melendez, I mentioned at the time when he decided to come back, the peanuts he was going to get for signing with Miami, the Last Stand Hats deal alone, he may top that. Mm. I mean, I don't think people realize the hell who signed for like 20,000 this year. Mikey Antico did, right? Who was drafted in the eighth round. So you could make that up with name, image, and likeness, and then you throw this in there. It made a lot of sense that Ivan Melendez comes back. Yeah, I think this is where you're going to see the separation of the fan bases that have a lot of money, and I understand that this is not a fan base, but there's a reason you have Orange Bloods inside Texas, and you've got that many good riders, and 24/7. I mean, think about how many options we have.
It's a lot.
Because there's a market for it.
Yeah. Yep.
And I could tell y'all that Orange Bloods had been working on this for a while, and they had actually been working on this before the TexAgs announcement came out. So this is not, oh, my God, TexAg did something. We've got to do something, too. Orange Bloods has been working out a deal like this for a couple of weeks now, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of the other UT insider sites try to cultivate deals like this. I'm just excited to see what kind of coverage we get. I mean, this is, like, as a fan of the team, put my media cap to the side, just as a fan of the team, getting the chance to learn some personal stories about the players and just get more behind-the-scenes access to the players is awesome. And I love that, you know, Ketch in a couple of quotes said, no, the players are still going to have their normal media availabilities. Like, we're not completely taking them away from anybody else, but we'll be able to present, you know, coverage of these guys in a way that has never been done before. I think they've got big plans, and you're talking about two impact players, or two guys who are expected to be impact players for their respective sports, giving you a little bit of insight and behind-the-scenes perspective of what's going on at practice and just with the team in general. That's pretty badass, man. I like, you know, I love it for the kids. They're getting paid. They're making money. That's huge. That's long overdue. We've talked about that a lot. But I think if you're a fan, you have to be excited about this, too, because it just gives you coverage that you've never been able to get before.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to, for the coaches, how much they are going to allow the football players to reveal. Right? That has to, now you have to have those conversations. It's like, listen, if you got a $10,000 name, image, and likeness deal with, you know, a Longhorn-centric site, that's great. And, of course, they want exclusivity, but they also want insider information.
Give me some nuggets.
They're paying for it.
Yeah.
Give me some nuggets, man. I'm paying you $10,000. I need something that I can, you know, so give me some clicks. And I wonder, you know, that's a delicate line to walk. That's a delicate line in terms of how much those players are going to be willing to reveal about game plans, about, you know, the offensive system, about checks and audibles. Because I'm a football theory guy. I'll ask you a question. I may not think anything of it, but, hell, I guarantee you if a Sooner coach saw it, he'd be like, ooh, you hear that question he asked about audibles
they
and checks?
They just gave us something.
And then Williamson just gave us something. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder how savvy these young guys are going to be about revealing, information, very, very sensitive information.
It's a great point. It's an interesting one, and it's one that I think that we're all excited this is coming down because we've all thought these guys deserve and gals. I mean, look, free market. If people want to pay you for your name and your likeness or whatever that is or some nuggets like that, then they should be able to do that. But you've got Bryce Young, who's never started a game, who apparently is close to seven figures. It was already an obstacle and something that coaches had to do. Hell, when Rod was playing, you wanted to keep them focused just from being that age, right? And from being a mini celebrity in town and trying to keep your head straight a little bit. We had a player tweeting at halftime not too long ago before any of this happened. I think trying to keep guys focused and trying to keep your business inside that locker room when you're being paid to give some of that business inside that locker room, this is going to be tricky for these coaches.
Yes. Yep. That's another thing for Sark to deal with, right? I mean, the Texas job in itself is not easy, but you add NIL and you add this move to the SEC on top of all of the other things that go into being the head coach at Texas, and hopefully he's got it figured out, and hopefully he's got people who can help him figure it out if he doesn't. Because this thing could pile up pretty quick. But, it's a good point. I mean, and Ketch mentions in this article with the Statesman that he wants to do daily interviews with Whittington after practice.
Exactly.
So it's like
information.
Information. Like, how much is going to be given out there? Is it just
who looked good at quarterback today?
Right. Exactly. And how much is Whittington going to reveal?
He's like, I'm paying you 10 G's. You can't just say, I don't want to talk about that.
They both look good.
Right? I mean, you're right. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but I'm sure Sark has to have a conversation with him about, hey, guys, you know, don't give up secrets that are going to put us at a disadvantage. Give them good information. They're paying you for it. That's part of your responsibility, but don't give up stuff that will put us at a disadvantage.
You think Whittington gives the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined, bit?
I'm just here so I get paid?
Yeah, after a couple of days.
Well, you want to do a good job because then you'll continue to get paid.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you'll get that gig again.
Yeah.
That's when you do a good job. We all know in this world, like, you expect, like, oh, now I'm going to get another job based on my track record. So, I don't really know how it's going to work out. I'd be – weary of that because we know one of the big issues that you brought up, KD, in Texas has been entitlement with these young people because they have a good time at Texas. We don't say they're spoiled, but they have access to, you know, a lot of privilege. And some people would say that has affected their ability on the football field, all right, to perform and to put out a good product. Now, this certainly is not going to help coach deter, you know, privilege and these guys being a little bit entitled.
Yeah.
Which we know they suffered from that.
Guy who's been the best at that successfully is Nick Saban. How does Saban deal with all this?
Well, we know he can deal with it because he's been able to deal with it.
He's been able to.
It's affected Texas before name, image, and likeness.
Fair.
So what is it going to do post name, image, and likeness?
That's a great question. We'll wait and see. But Orange Bloods inking deals with Jordan Whittington and Ivan Melendez. They say that they've got a few more athletes that they're hoping to sign in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, who's the next athlete? Go.
Who's
off the board?
I mean, Casey Thompson? Or do you wait on that?
Whoever
the starting quarterback is. I mean, obviously Bijan would be up there.
Bijan should be.
But
up
that
there.
That may be a high bill to pay.
Yeah,
you're right. Jordan Whittington was cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Bijan was like,
right.
that'll be $30,000.
Hey, they both have eyes at practice. I don't need to get the most expensive one.
Well, I'm gonna go buy a couple of walk-ons
yeah.
there.
Just to get the same.
What you talking? That's real cheap.
Just offer a few free meals to the walk-ons, and they're in.
Yeah,
give them insider nuggets, man.
Oh man, some of my buddies who were walk-ons would have killed for that.
Exactly.
We haven't had a basketball guy go. Who would that be, BK?
Oh, that's good. Andrew Jones?
Yeah, Andrew Jones would be a good one. Dylan DeSue.
He's from here.
Smart guy from here. Just got here. Another guy to look out for. Brock Cunningham's got some personality, I think. Another local cat.
Nice.
Some options there.
Yeah, I would think at some point you got to look at Tanner Witt.
Baseball-wise?
Yeah.
Sure.
Or Aaron Nixon. I mean, both those guys, I think, have a future beyond this, but they're big time here.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. All right, we'll take your thoughts. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. We are live at the Leander Beer Market in Leander, Texas. A raucous live crowd.
We got a good crowd here.